to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, also Acts chapter 20, and Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at them in that order. Been looking at the relationships of church. We have seen that Lord's church is a place of special relationship that is made clear from the metaphor of a body of Christ. We have seen that it is a relationship of unity, again made clear by the term body of Christ. We see it as a relationship of love, again, the body of Christ. And it is a relationship of ministry to one another, and we've spent the last several weeks looking at that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'd like to read verse 18 and then verse 28. But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Verse 28, and God has set some in the church. And notice in the book of Acts, chapter 20, book of Acts, chapter 20, we'll read verse 28 from verse 17. We see that Paul is speaking to the elders of the church of Ephesus. In Acts 20 and verse 28, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves, referring to the elders of the church of Ephesus, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, speaking to the church of Ephesus, or writing to the church of Ephesus, verse 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Each of these verses that we just read have reference, of course, to the Lord's churches. 1 Corinthians 12 makes it plain that there is a God-placed membership. God's churches consist of a God-placed membership. God has set some in the church, not all. He sets some. And he sets them in particular bodies of Christ. We see also from Acts chapter 20 and from Ephesians chapter 4, again, these verses relating to the church, there is also a God-placed pastorate to that particular membership. I want to speak on the relationship. Church is a relationship to the ministry. Again, we've looked at the ministry to one another. Now we're looking at the ministry has an office. There is a relationship that exists in the church to the ministry. But we see these two truths. There is a God-placed membership. There is a God-placed pastorate. Those are encouraging and wonderful truths. The who, when, and where of a God-placed membership and a God-placed pastorate are according to God's purpose, according to God's direction, and according to God's wisdom. And they are a branch of God's love, They are a branch of God's care, and they are a branch of God's protection of His churches. He places members in the body. He places a pastor in that particular body. Again, the who, when, and where is all God's doing. That is God's business. So we can be sure of this. A God-placed membership and a God-placed pastorate are in conjunction. God meant for the two to work together. He put them together. And one of the most disheartening things concerning the Lord's churches today is when there is a disharmony that exists between pastor and church, or between church and pastor, both the same thing. But a God-placed membership and a God-placed pastorate should be a very sacred relationship. And if it is not, something is wrong somewhere. But it should be a sacred relationship. We're not talking, again, we're talking about a body. We're not talking about union and management here. We're talking about a body of Christ. We're not talking about business. We're talking about a body of Christ. And there is to be a very sacred relationship. God has brought the two together. God placed membership, a God placed pastorate. This, of course, should result in a very special relationship. It should result in a very special alliance, and there should be a bond that exists between church and pastor. They are meant to love one another. They are meant to pray for one another. They are meant to pray together. They are meant to work and serve together. But again, there is a relationship, and this relationship cannot exist outside of the Lord's church. It exists within the Lord's church. Though a pastor will minister to extensions of family, he's really not their pastor. This is a relationship that is within the body of Christ. And this relationship is likened to a nursing mother with her child. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and verse 8. Paul says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us." That's a relationship that exists here between Paul and the church of Thessalonica. We see it's also likened to a loving father with his children. Notice in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, and also 1 John 3, verse 18. He says, my little children. And then notice in 1 John 3 and verse 18, my little children. So John here addresses the church as his little children. And that is the relationship that exists between a God-placed membership and a God-placed pastorate. So, to be in a body of Christ provides a privilege and an opportunity that is only available in a body of Christ. You do not have this privilege or opportunity anywhere else but a body of Christ. We want to look tonight at the calling of God into the ministry, or the calling of God to a man to preach the Word of God. God calls and enables men to preach His Word. From both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're going to see that there is a pattern. From both the Old Testament and New Testament, we see that God calls, God enables those whom He calls to preach the Word of God. When God wanted to deliver a message in the Old Testament to a king or to a nation, what did He do? He called or He summoned a man to deliver that message. Notice in the book of Amos, chapter 7. Book of Amos, chapter 7, we'll read verses 14 and verse 15. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me. The Lord took me. Didn't just speak to him, the Lord took me. As I followed the flock, that is, as I was doing my business, the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel. When God wanted to deliver a message, He called and summoned a man. He gave that man the message to preach. The man was not at liberty to deliver his own message. He gave the man the message to preach. And then He gave the man the ability to declare the message. We see this pattern throughout the Bible. Notice in, for example, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, we'll read verses 4 through verse 10. This, of course, has to do with the call of Jeremiah. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, set thee apart in the purpose of God. And I ordained thee a prophet, a preacher, unto the nations. Jeremiah responds, Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. God called. God would give the message. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. In other words, I will enable you. Jeremiah said, I am not able. I am a child. I am not able to preach. I am not able to speak. God says, Here, be not afraid. I will deliver thee. I will enable thee. So there's a call. A message is given. And there is divine enablement to deliver the message. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. There again is divine enablement to declare the word. It's a gift. It is a gift given by God. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Again, God called, God gave him the message, and God would enable him to deliver that message. Now, that's true with everything. Anything that God calls us to do, He will give us the ability to do it. That is true when it comes to preaching the Word of God. Man is not born with this ability. It is a gift from God. It is an enablement from God. Notice in the book of Ezekiel, and we'll read several verses here, but we see the same pattern once again. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. Begin reading verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me. That's part of the enablement. The Spirit entered into me when He spake unto me and set me upon my feet. Again, God told Ezekiel to stand. Ezekiel says, the Spirit entered into me and I stood. So God's in control here. He stood upon my feet, that I heard Him that spake unto me. He heard in a very special way. It was a call. Verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. I send thee to the children of Israel. God calls, God gives a message, God gives enablement, and as we saw with Jeremiah, Jeremiah was to go into Israel. Here we see God sends Ezekiel to Israel, sends to a specific people. He goes on to describe them. He says, they are a rebellious nation. They have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me. In other words, they have a long history of rebellion against me. Even unto this very day, their history continues. They continue to rebel against me. For they are impudent. That is, they are brazen. They are brazen. Children and stiff-hearted. That is, they are hard-hearted, they are inflexible. But I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them. So again, God gives the message. He is going to send Ezekiel. He's called Ezekiel. He's going to send Ezekiel. He gives Ezekiel the message. Thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. In other words, Ezekiel, it's really not your business whether they hear or whether they don't hear. That's my business. But whether they hear or whether they don't hear, you deliver the message. And they shall know, one thing for sure, they will know that there has been a prophet, there has been a God-sent preacher among them. They will know that. Verse 6, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, that's describing these people, that is, they'll cause thee grief and distress. And thou dost dwell among scorpions. That is, they will strike at you, just as a scorpion. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words. Again, God gives the message unto them. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. That is, you preach my message. Open thou thy mouth and eat that I give thee. God's going to give him the message. He's going to, when you eat something, it becomes a part of you. It's within you. And he says, eat. And then notice, and when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me. This is that enablement again. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, on the inside and on the outside. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. This is the message that Ezekiel is to deliver. Continuing on in chapter 3, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this book. This is the message. This message is to get a hold of you. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. God called, God enabled, God gave a message, God enabled, and again, God sends. Go to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. So the message is now within him. It's inside of him. It is a part of him. This is very important, because I believe this is what God does when he sends a man to preach. The message must be within. It must burn within. And we'll get on that a little later. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel. There again, he's being sent to a specific people, and he's being sent with a specific message, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. You are sent to a people that speak the same language as you do. Now go. Not to many people of a strange speech and of hard language, whose words thou cannot understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, that is, to a foreign people, to a people that did not understand you, to a people that spoke a different language, they would have hearkened unto thee. They would have listened. But I'm sending you to your own people, to those who speak your language. And then he tells them in verse 7, but the house of Israel will not. Now he's already told them, him, that whether they hear or whether they don't hear, you preach. And now he's going to tell them they're not going to listen. He says, but to the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee. And here's why. They will not hearken unto me. I send you with my message. They will not listen to me, and they will not listen to you. There is a connection here, a very close connection between God and Ezekiel, between God and the man called of God to preach. He says, how they treat me, how they treat my message, is how they will treat your message, because it is one and the same. Again, he reminds them they're impudent and hard-hearted. But then notice we have that enablement again. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Now that's hard-headed. That's hard-headed. And he's saying, I am as difficult as this people will be, I am enabling you to preach my message to them. They're not going to listen, but you will have the ability to preach unto them. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart. That's that picture of eating the book. I am going to speak the words to you, Those words must sink into your heart, and then hear in thine ears. So again, the message is to be within Ezekiel. God calls a man. God gives a man a message. He not only gives a man a message, the message is in the man's heart. It's a part of him. It's in him. God gives him the ability to preach the message, and God sends him to a particular people. Verse 11, "And go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up." There's that enablement again. "And I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away." It's under the control of the Spirit. Again, this is divine enablement. "And I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit," that is, with a great burden. And then notice, "but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me." So we have a God called, God summoned man to preach a message of God. God enables that man. God sends that man to a particular people at a particular time. God is in charge of who he goes to preach to, and God is in charge of the time frame in which he preaches. Keep all that in mind as we get to a God-added membership, a God-added pastorate. Now, we see over and over in the Old Testament, God reminded Israel, "I have sent my prophets unto you." Again, they're God called. They have a message. They are enabled, and they are sent to a particular people. Notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 19. "And he sent prophets to them." Why did he do that? To bring them again unto the Lord. "And they testified against them. They would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah." He's one of the prophets. There's that enablement. But God sent preacher after preacher after preacher to Israel, and they would not listen. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 and verse 16. "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, many times, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God." This is God's people. This is God's people. "And despised or thought lightly of his words," despised his words and of God, "and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, till there was no remedy." God sent preacher after preacher after preacher. They would not listen until there was no remedy. Till there was no remedy. Because the answer is God's message. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Verse 25. "Since that day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Again, you go on and you see that they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. And you see that pattern all through the Old Testament. It doesn't get better. When one generation rejects the message of God, the next generation will do even more so. And it just keeps on going. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 15. Jeremiah 35, verse 15. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened to me. God sent the message. God does not say you did not hearken unto them. He says you did not hearken unto me. They spoke my message, and you did not listen. My point is this. God called a man to preach, summoned a man to preach, gave him a message to preach, enabled him to preach the message, and then sent him to a particular people at a particular time to preach that message. Every one of these prophets was gifted and enabled by God to preach the Word of God. God calls a man to preach. He gifts him. It is a gift of prophecy. We read in Romans chapter 12. He gives him the gift to be able to declare the Word of God. Now we see the same pattern repeated in the New Testament. Remember Saul on the road to Damascus. Lord saved his soul. We see that God told Ananias in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, he says that Paul was a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel unto me to bear my name, to preach my name, to carry my name to the Gentiles and to kings and to the children of Israel. He was called of God, he was enabled of God, and he was sent by God. Now later, Paul would testify before Agrippa of both his salvation experience and his call and summons to the gospel ministry. Notice in the book of Acts chapter 26. Book of Acts chapter 26, verse 14. Paul is testifying before Agrippa, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice. We all fell to the earth, but I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, speaking in a way that I could understand, speaking in my own language, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who was Saul persecuting? He was persecuting the Lord's churches. And in so doing, he was persecuting the Lord. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So, God called him to preach the word. I have appeared unto thee to make thee a minister. Paul would later state to the Colossians, notice in Colossians 1 verse 23, Colossians 1 verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, then notice, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. God called me. God made me a minister, Paul says. He made me a minister. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He made me a minister, Paul says, and he put me into the ministry. Now, when you put something someplace, you do so with intent and purpose. You do not put something someplace accidentally. And we see, Paul says, he put me, he enabled me, and he put me into the ministry with purpose and intent. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, that is, by the authority of God. In other words, Paul was made a minister by the authority of God. So to reject such is to reject, just like if you reject the message, you reject the message of God. You reject this Paul here, or pastor, or minister. You reject the authority of God. This is serious business. This is very, very serious. What the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 4 of the Old Testament priest applies to the God called preacher. He said, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God. He that is summoned of God. We see a pattern in the Old Testament, and we see the same pattern in the New Testament. Not only was Paul made a minister, not only was he put into the ministry by the authority of God, God also made him able and capable. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Who hath made us able ministers. Who hath made us able ministers. How does God do that? God calls a man to preach. God enables that man to preach. A man cannot say that, well, you can say it, but it won't be true, that he is called to preach and has absolutely no ability to do so. Because with the call comes the enablement, comes the ability. He hath made me an able minister. Now notice in Ephesians chapter 3, we see how God does this. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Whereof, referring back to the gospel of verse 6, I was made a minister. There it is again. I was made a minister. According, in accord with the gift of grace of God. How is he enabled? By a gift of grace. Given unto me. It's not given unto everybody. It's given to those who have been called to preach the gospel. There is a special grace given unto them to preach that gospel. And it goes on to say, this was given unto me, notice, by the effectual working of his power. There's a power working within. This grace was given unto me by the effectual working, or the effective working of his power. So this one who is called and summoned of God to preach the gospel is God gifted to do so. He is God gifted to do so. Now every preacher needs to keep this in mind. Every church member needs to keep this in mind. That the capability to preach the gospel is never independent of God. Never. Notice in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. We already read verse 6. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers. The capability is not within an individual, in and of himself. The capability is completely dependent upon God. It is a gift of the grace of God. So you have this man. He has been called, he has been summoned by God to preach. God gives him a message to preach. God enables him to preach that message. God sends him to a particular people at a particular time. This is all God's business. And having done all of this, God lays a necessity upon this God-called individual. That is, he has to preach. Paul, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. That is, I have to. I have to. There is no way I can get around it. Again, everyone that God calls, they run for a while, but they eventually come to a point, necessity is laid upon them. There's that burden within. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Necessity is laid upon me, which is indicative of a heavy burden. So God calls an individual. God gifts that individual. He enables that individual. He gives that individual capability, gives him the message to preach, sends him to a people. He lays a heavy burden upon his heart that he has to preach that message. And he feels that if I don't preach this message, I will die. Woe unto me if I preach not this message. And that is how a preacher knows when he is to preach what? Because necessity is laid upon him. He can't get away from it. Notice, again, necessity laid upon him. This speaks of a burden. Habakkuk chapter 1. Book of Habakkuk chapter 1. And verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. It's not just simply the message, it's the burden. That's part of the necessity that is laid upon this man who has been called to preach. Notice in Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. And we'll read the first verse again. Malachi 1 verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Necessity is laid upon this one who has been called, this one who has been summoned by God. Necessity is laid upon him to preach. And he has been gifted by God. By the effectual power working within him, he has been gifted by God to preach that message. It's amazing how many people who do not have has not been called to preach, do not have the ability to preach because they haven't been called. But how, and many people think they know what it's like and how it should be done. Well, that would be like me, who has absolutely no gift whatsoever to sing, to go up to someone who is an accomplished singer and say, you know, that's not the way I do it. Well, that'd be foolish. I don't have that gift. God calls a man to preach. He gives him the ability to preach. He is gifted. He is gifted of God to preach the Word of God. He is anointed. He is anointed of God. Being called, summoned, and gifted of God, he feels the necessity pressing upon him. And now, he may never pastor. Again, some would disagree. But I do not believe that everyone who is called to preach is necessarily called to pastor. Don't believe that at all. That's another subject. But this individual who has been called, he has this necessity pressing upon him. And God may not send him to pastor a church any time in his life. But this man who has this necessity laying upon him is willing to go wherever. And he is willing to let go of all his plans. He is willing to leave jobs. He is willing to leave careers. He is willing to leave opportunities. He is willing to leave family, houses, and lands to do what God has summoned him to do and to go wherever God calls him to go. Now, we're finished for tonight, but we're looking at a God-placed membership and a God-placed pastorate. God calls a man to preach. The ministry of the church is to do what? Preach the gospel. That is the foundation of the ministry of the church. How do they do that? There's this God called man, and God sends him to that church. To that church. A church that is without a pastor, unless they have another man who is called to preach, is really coming way short of what they're supposed to be doing. Preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. The ministry involves the preaching of God's word. And God sends a man to his churches, which we'll look at next week, to preach that word. But we must believe in a God-called ministry. And if we believe in a God-called ministry, we had better recognize such. We had better be careful, whether it be the one who was called into the ministry or whether it be the ones that he is sent to. Both had better be very, very careful how they treat this call, because it is serious business. And God's in control of it all. Brother Mark, if you'll come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand. Brother Mark will lead us in singing.